coming to you from the top of the SmartWorks Tower. Nestled between the massage parlor and donut shop in beautiful downtown Red Bluff, it's the PenPals.Buzz podcast. Need a genuine connection? This is the place to learn how a pen pal can change your life. And, oh yeah, they just happen to be in prison. But Big Steve will never judge. He's open-minded, he's a little quirky, and he's ready for another adventure. So get your postage stamps, grab a pen and paper, and get comfy for 30 minutes of pen pal pleasure. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Thanks, Keith. I was sitting here wondering, what would he say in that little intro if I didn't write the script for him? Would be like, he's a real jerk. He's a real, I don't know what he would say. It's Big Steve. It's the PenPals.Buzz Prison Pen Pal podcast for April Fools. I hope nobody got pranked too hard. I know I didn't. I came into work super early, and I'm planning to leave after midnight so that I'm exempt from being pranked. I'm not sure that's how it works, but I'm hoping it does. So I want to start today's episode by talking about a really good, uplifting story. There's a guy named Marcus Bullock. This guy's pretty amazing. He was locked up at the age of 15, and he spent 8 years in prison. And one of the things he loved most during those 8 years was mail call. After the 4 p.m. count, Monday through Friday, count is when they'd walk through. They say, count time, gentlemen. And then they spend about an hour and a half making sure everybody's still there. Nobody's escaped. Everyone's in the right bunk and that sort of thing. Well, Marcus said that after the 4 o'clock count, always loved it because mail call would happen. And the officers would walk around the units and slide mail into that slot in the door. And he said that was almost magical. He loved having that mail. He loved having something to look forward to. Got his exact quote here. There's something about that mail coming through the slot and hearing your name get called that reminds you how valued you are. It was something I could take with me when I moved from facility to facility, he said. It didn't matter where I went, those photos and those letters would end up on the side of my bunk. He could take them from facility to facility. He said he also took them home with him when he did get released, and they provided motivation for him to continue doing well because he was able to see tangibly, physically, how many people out there cared and thought of him while he was locked up for those 8 years. Now, Marcus Bullock, he gets out. He uses his love of mail, his love of mail call, his love of being able to get letters and postcards and photos while he was in prison. And he starts this incredible company that's been around for a while now. It's called Flick Shop. That's FlikShop. They have FlickShop.com. And they also have an app. And what this app does is it makes it easier for people to stay connected to their incarcerated family and friends. You can get the app for free. And then users get like one credit, I think, that's free, and then you got to pay. But it's a small amount of what you end up paying. And it creates personalized postcards with a photo. You can do different backgrounds and colors. You can make the arrangement however you want for the photo to look and then have your special message on this postcard. And they send it to thousands and thousands of jails and prisons all around the United States. So when you go and you set up which postcard you want and you get your picture loaded on there, it'll actually mail this postcard to the inmate, to your friend or family member, on the very next business day. I think the cost is something like 70 cents, which is, I mean, if you go and buy a postcard, you're lucky if that's 25 cents, and then it's going to be, you know, more than that to mail it. So you're probably, in the long run, you're saving money by doing this. And the other thing that I think is super cool about it, so many times, I've done my cousin Michael, the poor guy. Michael's always sending me stuff for Christmas and my birthday. And I always think, I'm going to send something to Michael this year and I'll get the card. I might even, you know, start to write the card out. And then I get distracted and something happens. And the next thing I know, it's like 2 weeks after Michael's birthday and I didn't even text him. And I'm thinking, God dang it, I had this card and now I got to save it for next year, for his next birthday. So people get distracted and they want to send postcards, they want to send letters, but so many times they don't. Just because of the way the world is now with, you know, cell phones and distractions and Netflix and all sorts of crazy things going on. So this actually makes it super easy. You don't have to go to the post office. You don't have to get a stamp. You don't have to find the mailbox closest to you. You don't have to write the address out on the envelope. It does all of that for you. And you get one for free every month, which is pretty awesome. So it's really a success story. It's a guy that was locked up. And if you go to flickshop.com, you can see it's an amazing, it was a very well-built website. It's easy to use. The app is awesome. And I swear to you, they didn't pay me a penny to tell you this. I was doing some research on another topic and just stumbled into this story. And I felt it was so inspiring and so great. And then it leads into the bad part. Because for those of you that have experience with prison, you know that usually if there's something good, it turns to crap pretty quickly. It turns to crap. And Marcus, guy that gets out, busts his butt. I was going to say busts is something else, but he busts his butt to create this business. Helps thousands and thousands of inmates around the country and their families. And now he's suffering. Now the business is hurting. Why? Because of good news. Good news, according to so many. Great news. More and more prisons are banning mail. This is a great thing. It's a win-win. That's what they keep saying. I'm going to play a clip right now from a guy. It makes me sick to hear this. It makes me just sick to my stomach to hear how this guy can turn the fact that inmates are no longer getting mail, how they're no longer getting the letters, how they can't get a postcard anymore in so many facilities now around the country. This guy turns this into a positive, wonderful thing. Talk about mental gymnastics, right? Talk about what they always call it when I was in therapy. They called it a thinking error, cognitive distortion. This guy's cognitively distorting the fact that we're screwing inmates out of their mail. One of the few things they look forward to. Now you can't have that. There's no mail coming through that slot anymore after count time. Those postcards, they're not going to get accepted anymore. You're not going to be able to see those postcards, except maybe a really poor quality scan on a tablet, if you can afford a tablet. If not, maybe you'll get it printed out in black and white, but you got to pay money to get it now. It's just sickening. I'm going to play this for you, and then we'll talk about it.
The Texas Department of Criminal Justice is excited to announce that we are moving to a digital mail platform.
Excited.
This new program will allow us to reduce the amount of dangerous contraband that's entering our facilities.
Oh, great.
All inmate mail will be sent to the digital mail center, where it will be sorted, scanned, and uploaded to the inmate's secure tablet. These messages and photos will be scanned in color and can be saved to the tablet to be permanently available for the inmate to enjoy.
To enjoy them.
Inmates who do not have a tablet will receive black and white printed copies of their correspondence. Yeah. Legal mail, media mail, books, magazines, and other subscriptions will still be sent to the unit and provided to the inmate.
What a guy, huh?
We will soon begin the implementation phase of this program.
Yay.
For more information about the rollout and the units that are impacted, please refer to our website and the FYI app.
That's Timothy Fitzpatrick, everybody. He's one of the directors of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, standing there in a nice $1,000 blue suit, pitching to everybody through YouTube about how wonderful this new program is. They call it a win-win. It's great. We're excited to announce this. You're not getting any more mail because we can't keep drugs out of the facility. Just sickening, sickening stuff. These are real sadists running some of these correctional departments. They really are. And you should see some of these scans that are done from some of these companies. I mean, it's incredible. Family sent an inmate some nice quality photos of their vacation. They were at the ocean. I think they were up parasailing. Really nice photo. And then they showed what the scan looked like. It was like a black silhouette. You couldn't even tell who the people were in the photo. And families have been complaining from correctional departments all around the country, not just in Texas, but we're talking
Pennsylvania, who's been banning mail since 2018, so it's been almost 6 years, and several other states, and families have just been saying over and over again that the scans are done incorrectly, missing pages are very common, that things are blurry and unreadable. If there's a limit on the number of pages that can be copied, which there often is, the envelope may count toward that limit, as it does in Arkansas. If you only get 2 pages, you get the envelope now in 1 page, and then the rest gets destroyed, and you never know what the letter said. Taking that away has real, measurable consequences for mental health, behavior, and even recidivism after release. Now, Mr. Bullock, who founded this incredible company, Marcus Bullock, he gets emails from people all the time, and they're worried about these policies because they're starting to ban postcards, and that's hurting his company as well. And as the policies sweep through one state after the other, Mr. Bullock thinks, you know, not only about the impact that these mail restrictions have on families, but also the impact it has on potential opportunities to connect inmates with prospective employers. There's been a big pitch over the past decade or so to get employers to start hiring more inmates. Ban the box, they called it in California. You can't ask, have you been convicted of a felony, on most job applications. You want to give inmates a chance. Mod Pizza. They hire disabled people. They promote the fact that they hire inmates. And now they're not even able to connect with the inmate. They're not even able to send a job application for someone that might be getting out in the next few months. They're not able to ask questions through the mail anymore. It's just having a huge impact on so many different people. Now, these rules, you know, a lot of people will say, well, there's rules, they're there for a reason, and security is the most important thing, and blah, blah, blah. That's great. But having access to mail is a right that everyone should have. And so when you're banning that, you're not really controlling the contraband that's coming in, because the reality is contraband wasn't really coming in that way. There's not drugs coming through the mail. People aren't putting acid underneath postage stamps. These are just things you see on TV and hear about. That's not where the drugs come through. Before they did this whole ban, they started banning letters, and they said now you can only send postcards, because they figured on a postcard you couldn't put drugs in an envelope if you're just sending a postcard. But then people said, oh no, because now they're putting the drugs on the postage stamps, underneath the stamp. So then the prison started cutting the stamp off of the postcard, and sometimes that would cut one of the most important parts of the picture on the postcard, so you couldn't see. Oh no, it's not just the stamps now. They're also putting drugs under the return address labels. And now they're doing colored ink, so we can't allow colored ink, no blue ink, because that can have drugs in the ink. And oh, now we can't, now that they're spraying the drugs on like perfume, so we can't do that. So, I mean, come on. The reality is it's not how the drugs are getting into the institutions, and people know that. The prisons know that. The way the drugs are getting in, they don't want to say this. They don't want to admit this. But anyone who's been a correctional officer and anyone who's worked in a prison know that this is true. The drugs come in from the staff. I talk to people all around the country that work in different prisons, people that I saw posting on Reddit, in fact, and I interviewed some of them. And they said they go into work almost every day and they don't get searched. Not a metal detector. They could be bringing weapons in. They could be bringing drugs in. And they do. Not these people in particular. But it's very, very easy for anyone that works in a facility to bring drugs in. This could be the doctors, the nurses. This could be the correctional officers who are getting now probably less per hour than fast food workers in California. Did you hear that? They just raised the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour, you know? So these guys are like, well, shit, I'm making $16 an hour working as a CO here at this crap prison. Maybe I could supplement my income, right? They're entrepreneurial. So that's how drugs are getting in, and drugs are getting in through visitation. Someone will come to visit. They'll hold the inmate's hand. They'll pass a little something. The inmate goes to use the bathroom. I don't want to get graphic here, but, you know, hides it temporarily and then retrieves it, right, when he gets back to his unit. That's the way drugs are getting in. They're not getting in from Grandpa Bernie or Grandma Helen sending a, you know, birthday card to their great-grandson whom they haven't seen in 15 years, and it might be the last birthday that they're able to send a card because they're about to die, right? Because they maybe have cancer, or they're 87 years old, or whatever the case may be. They want to be able to send their grandson a happy birthday card is all. And the card gets rejected with some cryptic against policy for DOC, refused. You know, so poor grandma can't even send her grandson a birthday card.
I used to get cards and birthday cards from my dad and my brother. I would run my hand over their signature. Isn't there a difference when you get a physical piece of mail versus just a text message when someone says, I love you? Drawings, you know, when they trace their little hands, or bunnies with little fuzzy tails. Those things women really hold to as physical connections to their children.
Nobody ever thinks about really that the how much the prison actually produces trauma, right? There's violence, there's assault, sexual assault, there's suicide. There's so many things that we have to see as incarcerated individuals, that there's three things that really unify us to the outside world. And that thing is, those three things are visits, phone calls, and mail, right? And a lot of times visits are really hard because distance, right? So you can't visit with your family as much as you'd like to. Phone calls, we know that it's very expensive. I talk to my daughter twice a month, and that's $35 right there. Just those two phone calls for about 15 minutes each call. And the one thing we look forward to probably 2-3 times a week is our mail. Out of the 2.3 million people locked up in America, you know, 90 to 95% of them are going to come home someday, and they need something to unify them to their community. And when I get these letters, that's me. You know, that's me. That's all the people that are nationwide doing that work to try to keep our brothers and sisters inside connected to the outside world.
When you receive mail, you know that the person who has written you has touched that mail. There's a bond there with that piece of mail that you can't get on a video screen or from a carbon copy. And for most of us, when a letter comes from home, that's home. There isn't anything that can replace it. Nothing.
I remember for 3 years at a time watching my daughter grow up in pictures that I got through the mail. Be able to hold that picture, put that picture on my locker, be able to hold it, look at it. I was blessed that my mom was able to be alive when I came home from prison. And the thing about my mom is she always wore this distinct perfume when she was alive. And, you know, there's a hint of that smell on the letter. It was like something that just kept me grounded.
And that's all gone now, unfortunately. I mean, so many people don't have that ability. There's no more perfume on the letter. There's no more even seeing the handwriting on the letter, feeling the ink, smelling the envelope, seeing what stamp was used or the way the letter was addressed or the I love you on the back of the envelope. All of it's gone. And one thing we haven't talked about yet, but it's pretty important too, is how long mail is taking. A guy named Dallas, who's one of our penpals.buzz inmates who has a profile, his grandma keeps calling me. I love her. Jerry is her name, and she's a wonderful woman. But at first, I wasn't, so she'd call me, and she'd yell, and she was so upset because Dallas wasn't getting people signing up on Securus. And I said, but Jerry, we've got, you know, dozens of women that are writing him snail mail. Dozens. And it's only been a month since he's been on the site. And I said, you know, that's pretty remarkable. That's great results, you know. That's a wonderful thing. And she said, yeah, but he doesn't get those for months. He doesn't get them for months. And then by the time he writes back, you know, and then by the time he gets a response from them again, I mean, it's 4 or 5 months later. So it's really, really hard to keep any kind of correspondence going when that type of thing is happening. And I didn't understand this. And now I do, and I understand. I was kind of frustrated and confused how so many inmates who are on penpals.buzz were complaining that they were getting all the snail mail. I mean, it's sent on their tablets and what that, you know, I didn't get it at the time. But so many inmates were complaining that they didn't want letters. They didn't want people to write them because either A, they wouldn't get them, or B, the scan would be such poor quality, it would be hard to read, or C, It would take months, right? So they want everybody to sign up for Securus or for JPay or for this Getting Out app. That's what they want now. They don't want what I used to think was so amazing. An old-fashioned pen pal, a pen and a paper and a letter, a piece of mail coming on mail call, going through that slot in the door. To me, that was one of the best things about prison. It was one thing you could look forward to every single day except for Sunday. And now they don't even want that because it's such a pain and it takes so long. And they say, no, please, please have them sign up for Securus. Please have them sign up for JPay. Please, please email them and tell them, explain to them how to sign up for the Getting Out app. And I try, but a lot of people don't want that. And I think there lies the crux of the issue that we're dealing with here. Because companies like Securus, who is one of the largest companies that does this mail scanning, quote unquote, service for the prisons, these companies bundle, just like the cable company, just like AT&T, they bundle all of their services into one convenient package for the prison, and they say, we're going to provide these tablets at a really low cost or sometimes free to the inmates. And these tablets, they're known to be great for the prisons because, one, they're like a babysitter. Inmates aren't getting in fights as much. They're not causing problems with the COs because they're sitting on their bunk playing video games, watching movies. It's made prisons a whole heck of a lot safer, and everybody knows that now. So we're going to provide these tablets at a low or even free to the inmates, but then they have to pay for the music, and they have to pay for the content and the games and the books and ebooks and all those things. They have to pay now for that. And we're also, you know, just for fun, we're going to throw in this special e-messaging that's really, really great, they tell them, because it's 20, 30, 40 cents an email instead of the high cost of a postage stamp, now 68 cents, right? So you can send an email for 30 cents. What they don't tell you is a lot of times these emails are, you know, about a half page limit. So if you really want to write, you know, a story of what you did on your vacation, you're going to have to send 8 or 10 of these emails and pay a lot more money. But we're going to give you this tablet and we're going to give you this special email service that the inmates are going to love. And then we're also going to throw in, just because we're really nice people, we're going to throw in this scanning, this mail scanning, so that you won't have to even ever worry that mail's going to enter your facility. And it's a great thing because we're going to get rid of drugs and contraband that comes through the mail. And now we're just going to scan it at a totally different facility, far, far away from where your prison is, and we'll photocopy it and mail it to the inmate, or we'll scan it and put it on their tablet that we provided because we're such a great company and we're here to make the world better. And so everybody signs up for this. All the prisons are like, oh, Securus, you are so wonderful. Thank you so much. This is just amazing. It makes our job so much easier. It makes the prison safer. And what they didn't realize is that making traditional mail so difficult to be sent and received now, all people want who are in prison are to use their tablets. All they want now is a couple of sentences of a text message or a e-message, as they call it, because they can get it soon. Because it doesn't have to take a month to come in. That's what they want. They want everybody to sign up for these things. And the problem is, these companies like Securus, GTL, Text Behind, I mean, there's a bunch of them. And that gets hard because every inmate, you know, different prisons use different companies. So you don't know, is this guy JPay or is this guy Securus or is this guy, what's the other one? Connect Network. And you don't know. And then once you finally figured it out, they switch. And a month later, the inmate's telling you, oh, no, we get rid of that Securus app. Now you need the Getting Out app. And it's just chaos. But the problem is these things are expensive. It looks on the surface like, oh, it's not so bad. It's 20 cents a message. Or sometimes I've seen as much as 50 cents a message. And that's not so bad. But then when you actually go into this app and you log in and you try to set up an account, if he can even figure out how, because it's ridiculously hard and most of these sites are horribly designed. AOL email from 1993 is light years ahead of this technologically. I mean, these things are horrible. You go in and you sign up for an account because let's say you find a pen pal on penpals.buzz and you want to write them and they're begging you, please go get the Getting Out app. So you do, and then you take about a half hour to figure out what prison they're located in because the prisons are listed with these weird codes. It'll say like RPDOC X2A test mode QQL. You don't know, there's thousands of these. You don't know which prison they're in, and you finally figure that out. And then they want your money, and it says, what, 30 cents a message. But what they don't tell you is you have to buy $20 up front, and then there's like a $9 service charge. And then they have the gall to ask you if you want to round up. Why don't you round that $29 up to $30 on your $20 purchase as a service charge, a convenience fee? So you're going to write this inmate that you've just met on a website you haven't even spoken to yet. You don't want to spend $20 or $30, right, to have the opportunity to write them on this app. You don't even know if they're going to write back. What you want to do is send them a letter for 68 cents. But you can't now. So it's all about the money. There was a study in Prison Legal News, and it came out that one in 140 letters prior to the mail scanning being implemented in the prisons, one out of every 140 letters was supposedly tainted with drugs. So they tested everything 1 year later after the mail scanning had been in place for a year, and one out of 140 letters was again tainted with drugs. The exact same result. Exact same result. And then they tested mail that wasn't sent to a prison. They tested mail that was sent to doctor's offices, right? Or lawyers or residences. And it was approximately the same percentage that supposedly was tainted with drugs. Probably every piece of mail out there has some sort of residue on it from somebody because there's so many people with marijuana these days. There's so many drugs out there in the world. A lot of them have become legal or medicinal, that residue gets on envelopes from mailboxes, from mail carriers, probably from the trucks, maybe from the people that handle the mail at the facility. So it's not that people are sending drugs into prisons at any higher rate than there's any drugs in any envelope anywhere in the USA. In fact, some jurisdictions, this is interesting, found that substantially more drugs entered after the mail scanning was put into place. There were studies in Pennsylvania and Missouri departments of correction that found there was no change at all in drug use. But from Missouri, the Riverfront Times had some data that showed that overdoses actually increased once mail scanning was put into place. And when you think about it, you've got one half of all of the inmates in the United States, which is about 1 million inmates, meet the criteria for substance use disorder, which we used to call drug or alcohol addiction. Now it's substance use disorder. But instead of treating them, instead of helping them have good social networks, which is important, one of the keys of rehabilitation is knowing that there's a positive role model in your life, that you have a positive support network. Instead of having any of that, we're just going to take away that support network. We're going to make it expensive for them to contact you. Let's just cut them off. And then that's going to make your addiction worse, not better. And then the overdoses in Missouri are going to go up, as they did. Now, something else we didn't touch on yet, but we should. Anyone that's been in prison and that's had one of these tablets from JPay, you know that these things break all the time. They stop charging properly. They get hot and kind of blow up and stop working completely. And then what you have to do is send it back, oftentimes through commissary, who will collect all of the broken tablets, put them in a box. Maybe in a few weeks, they'll mail them back to JPay. Then JPay has to reprogram all of them and will send them back at some point. And it's happened to me twice. And each time it took at least a month to get the tablet back. So during that time, you might not even have access to mail at all. It's not like the Ford dealer or the Mercedes-Benz dealer where they're going to give you a rental car, right? They're going to give you a loaner. You're not going to get a loaner tablet, I guarantee you. So you're going to have no mail. You're going to have no access to anything other than phone calls, which will be hundreds of dollars in a month for your family. I think what we can really call this is the perfect storm. You know, a few states were starting to restrict mail before the COVID-19 pandemic. They were starting to have problems with not enough COs there to handle the mail volume. And sometimes inmates would get mad. Where's my mail? Where's my mail? It's so late. Sometimes mail wouldn't get delivered till midnight and people were pissed. And it just slowly progressed into finding ways to promote these tablets and getting more people to use email. And the mail volume drastically dropped. But people were still sending real mail, and a lot of prisons had cut the entire mailroom staff. So no one was there to process it. So when a lot of mail, like at Christmas, a lot of cards would come in and whatnot, the staff got overwhelmed, and they kept thinking there's got to be a better way. And then Securus comes into the rescue, and these other companies, there's a lot of them, and says, hey, guess what? You don't have to process mail at all anymore because we've got this remarkable win-win situation that, as that guy in Texas said, we're excited to announce this new wonderful thing that you're not going to get your mail. And then COVID-19 came along. People weren't going into work. People were afraid that there were germs on envelopes. You couldn't touch the mail. It became better and better to focus on the email, the e-messaging. Let's not even accept letters because COVID germs could be on them. We don't want staff with potentially COVID touching letters and then handing them out to the inmates, and we could be super spreaders. So the more and more they started banning mail, they had to come up with reasons that actually seemed reasonable. So once COVID kind of toned down, they basically had to just stick to this prevent drugs from coming in and keep the facility safe. Because security is the number one priority. Mail is important here, but it's not welcome. And that's what it comes down to, is money, lack of staff, and in my view, a sadistic point of mind. I think they get pleasure in this. Really, I do. Let's hear this guy one more time.
The Texas Department of Criminal Justice is excited to announce that we are moving to a digital mail platform. This new program will allow us to reduce the amount of dangerous contraband that's entering our facilities.
Yeah, let's just cut him off, right? I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear that. I don't know why I even wanted to play that. It just makes me so angry. His little smug smile and his expensive suit, telling the world how excited he is that he's screwing inmates and their families over.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve. But he'll be back Monday with another edition of the PenPals.Buzz podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.Buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.